It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Citizens National Bank. It's the official bank of the Drive. Earn 1.75% annual percentage yield. Get free ATM fee refunds. Call for details, 865-453-9031. Bear has the top 4 at 4, Bear.
Number 1, Nebraska official was caught on a hot mic.
Hot mic.
Saying the Big Ten football decision is coming Tuesday. 2 days after Big Ten presidents and chancellors met to review information about a possible fall football season, University of Nebraska Assistant President Ted Carter was caught on a hot microphone saying an announcement will come later Tuesday.
So I'd imagine, do you want to get that news cycle? You're going to drop that any moment now. So Big Ten's playing. Big Ten's back in. Sound like an 8-game schedule, I guess, is the rumor. And starting sometime middle of October. There you have it. Big Ten is back, ladies and gentlemen. Back like cooked crack.
Well, we shall see. Number 2, Major League Baseball postseason games will be played at bubble sites, beginning with the Division Series. The World Series apparently will be played entirely at the Texas Rangers' new ballpark in Arlington, Texas.
Really?
It's part of a bubble agreement, yes, between Major League Baseball and the Players Association.
Huh.
The first time the sports championship will be played entirely at one site since 1944.
That's interesting. Okay. Probably a good idea. In baseball, you want to have the – wouldn't want the World Series to – be clouded in controversy. I mean, it's not like that's ever happened before, right? You want everything to be on the up and up. Don't want to have any surprises or anything like that. So, yeah, put them in the bubble.
Yeah, I mean, that has the, you know, obviously what we know now, the best chance of being successful. So, I'm all about it. Number 3, Navy's football coach has ripped the Pentagon for the Commander-in-Chief Trophy Series, then later apologized. He is upset, apparently, because Air Force will be allowed to vie for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy by playing just 2 football games this fall against Navy and Army.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I cannot say Coach Ken is what I'll call him. Navy's coach said it's unfair. Blaming officials at the Pentagon for making this a military deal before later apologizing. Imagine he got a blistering phone call would be my guess.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to bring the Pentagon into it. I mean, you are a football coach. Just say it's not fair that we're playing a full schedule. They're playing 2 games. That's all you got to say, right? And we all know what you mean, and we all agree with you.
The service academies. I agree it was a mistake for him to pull them into it, but, you know, he's a football coach, they lose their tempers.
I just thought that guy seemed like a pretty cool cat. He's always wearing the lay on the sideline. He comes out there. He's like, yeah, we're getting our asses kicked. We need to practice this preseason. You know, we just sat around and watched the Tiger King or, you know, whatever. We just kind of hung out. We decided not to play football. And wouldn't you know it, BYU is running the train on us. Chalk it up to experience. Won't let that happen again. I like that guy.
He's not a bad guy. And finally, number 4, LSU coach Ed Orgeron has apparently said that most of his team has contracted the coronavirus. But most of our players have caught it. I think that hopefully they won't catch it again, and hopefully they're not out for games. But, you know, everything I've read, even if you've caught it, they think that it gives you like a 3-month like immunity. I mean, they aren't really sure, but for like 3 months. But
yeah, I mean, the teams that had Texas Tech, they said has had like 70 of their out of 100 guys have had it. The teams that went ahead and got it out of the way are probably going to have the best chance of making it through the season.
But here's the deal. Per SEC protocols, players who have contracted COVID-19 don't have to be tested again for 90 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is LSU, most of theirs was back early in the summer.
In July?
Like June.
So like June, July, August. Yeah, I mean, I guess so they get it again.
I mean, they'll be getting tested again. And they'll fall under – I wonder if they'll fall under the contact tracing set up by the conference.
Let me ask you this. If – and by the way, like this whole three-month thing, I think we can all agree that's arbitrary. Like none of us are doctors, but I'm just going to assume that that any sort of virus isn't going to be like, all right, we got you. You're cool for 3 months. But as soon as that 3 months is over, we're coming back at you. Like, we don't know. It might be 3 months. Well, it might be 2 months. It might be 5 months. We don't know.
They're saying that
they're saying
3 months they have to start testing again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they get out of it for the time being. I mean, if you're going to get it, I guess, like.
You're missing the point here. That is, you know, one of the dumbest people that have ever coached football in the Southeastern Conference is, you know, I don't know.
What are you talking about, man? Are you talking about Ogeron, the defending national champion? That guy? The guy who just had the best football team in the history of the game? That guy's a moron? Come on, man. Show a little respect.
Yeah, he's an idiot. He's a complete idiot.
I guess if you're picking the perfect time to have all your guys get COVID, it would have been like 2 weeks ago, right? Because that would have given you – the most, and that's when we had a pretty big outbreak. So we're back, baby.
We're back. I don't think we really did. We had some cases, and then the rest of them are just falling under that crazy contact tracing rule.
Let's get COVID. COVID party. Lick the doorknob.
You're a complete idiot. I mean, just one of the dumbest people I know. Zero morals, zero ethics.
Let's get out of the way, man. Ogeron says we got it out of the way. We're done. COVID ain't no problem down here.
We got the herd immunity. Go Tigers.
That, you know, snorting fat rails and guzzling that Red Bull is okay. Good way to wake up.
7 gram rocks.
Well, that is the top four at four brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. Over 20 branches, Knox, Sevier, Jefferson counties. At CNBTN on Twitter, CNBTN.com. On the interwebs, call 865-453-9031. You want to contact them the old fashioned way. Citizens National Bank, let's get COVID.
Jesus.
I don't even know why you tempted karma like that, man.
Oh, yeah, I don't want it. I'm an old man. I'm no athlete. I might get that myocarditis. I didn't know that when I was a little kid and I was watching The Wizard of Oz. Or no, not The Wizard of Oz. What was it? Yeah, the Grinch. The Grinch's heart grew 10 times. He had myocarditis. I didn't know. He had coronavirus back then. We just thought he got happy and got an ounce of love. Had regret for stealing Christmas from Whoville. Oh, he had the myocarditis. Bloop, 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 bloop. Heart blew up on him.
You know, I watched a behind-the-scenes video, went down the YouTube rabbit hole of The Wizard of Oz. They went through, like, 20 different people to be able to beat the Tin Man. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the paint was toxic.
And they also, he's not lying. Somebody knows. Somebody was in the hospital for, like, a month. One of the actors.
So oh, no.
Replacement.
From putting the face paint?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the lady that played the Wicked Witch of the West, that green paint they put on her,
Glinda, something
really messed her up.
I'll get you, my pretty.
Linda was a good witch, Russ.
Oh.
They also cut out the song Somewhere Over a Rainbow. It got put in like the last 2 days of production. They were going to cut it out because they thought it was too long.
Great song. Great musical. Great movies of all time. The Wizard of Oz. I mean, it's like 100 years old. People still watch it. Still comes on TV. Don't put anything else that's 100 years old on TV.
Hey, just a wrap Blue up hole. The Middleton thing. That was good.
You ever do that thing, Bear, with the Pink Floyd and the Wizard of Oz, the Dark Side of the Moon thing?
Yeah, I've done that before, and then there used to be, I can't remember their name. There was a band here in Knoxville. These kids were all like, I think they were all, several of them were members of Pride of the Southland. They would pull down a screen. They were in a band together. And they would play The Wizard of Oz, and then they would cover Dark Side of the Moon live behind it. It was pretty wild. But
you know
yeah,
what we're talking about, Drew? Have you ever heard about this?
What, Dark Side of the Moon?
Yeah, with Wizard of Oz.
Dark Side of Oz.
I mean, like, I know the Pink Floyd album. I don't know necessarily the connection with
so
Wizard of Oz.
So, supposedly, like, the beginning of Wizard of Oz, when the lion roars at the beginning, like,
The second time he roars, you start
the Wizard, or you start the Pink Floyd, the Dark Side of the Moon, and it like syncs up.
Oh, that's pretty.
There's
sick.
A few things. It's pretty.
Some
cool.
Pothead figured that out in like 1974. It's like, oh man, I can't believe this. The lion's talking to me, bro. Look, as soon as money starts, it goes in color. It's incredible.
I'm not a grass expert.
Think about Eclipse by Pink Floyd. Have you seen the trailers for the new Dune movie, Russ?
Yeah.
I have not.
Eclipse. I think they're using Pink Floyd heavily on their soundtrack.
I saw that.
Fantastic. T-Carp wanted to know about the contact tracing trade. I mean, were you able to find out since we last visited and commiserated over it was Pruitt? They go back to the practice field today. What are we going to have, like, seven guys available? We're just going to play one-on-one football this year?
They're on the practice field right now. And also, just to wrap up the Middleton thing, I was told he'll be back at practice at the end of the week. So.
Is he injured or is he in contact tracing?
He's got.
Does he actually have the Rona?
No, it's symptoms contact traced, is I guess what I'll say.
Yeah, that doesn't clear it up any. I just hope it. Hey, listen, man, this has been the weirdest offseason of all time. If we can line up with 11 guys against South Carolina, that has to be looked at as some sort of minor victory at this point.
It'd be a miracle.
And
I've heard South Carolina's not doing. They're not far off of us as far as contact tracing.
I hope not. I hope so, because like if they have a bunch of guys out too, then that might be the great equalizer. This thing could be the great equalizer throughout the year. And you know, we're joking about it with the COVID party, but like maybe we did nail this. Maybe LSU screwed up by getting so many infections in June and July. Maybe they'll come back and get reinfected. In the fall, maybe our guys waited till the very last minute to get infected and will thus have immunity for the rest of the season. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. We're in uncharted waters. It's going to be complete chaos for the next 12 weeks. It should be pretty fun because they're going to play, man, and there might be individual games that have to be canceled, postponed, or whatever, but that's just going to add to the drama of it all. My advice to Jeremy Pruitt would be this, because obviously big germs, and he hasn't asked for my advice. I'm beginning to think he never will. He doesn't realize that he has this fountain of great, useful information and advice just miles away. And he won't, you won't call me, Jeremy. You never call anymore. My advice would be this, bro. It's like, just chill. He's so stressed about it. And he's paranoid. He thinks everybody else is cheating and get away with it. He might be right. Yeah, I don't know. He's like, dude, just coach your team. Like Calipari says this all the time. Just coach your team. You get all the distractions, the parents involved. Why isn't my son playing? This guy's getting paid, and the NCAA's knocking, and the teachers wanted it. Just coach your team, Jerem.
I feel like he kind of pivoted and did that today, though. I saw on social media earlier, I don't know if he was at the quarterback club or if it was a presser or something. He's wearing his big glasses. But he had kind of pivoted away from complaining so much about, which I don't blame. I mean, we all know that Alabama and LSU and Florida and Georgia are cheating their asses off right now. And we're being incredibly transparent. But he did say that he was excited about the year and felt like he had a pretty good team.
Well, I think Tennessee fans, I think we're known for our patience and level-headedness.
Okay.
We'll give them a break. Sure. We'll give you a break, Jerm. We'll give you a break this year. We'll cut you a slack. We'll cut you some slack.
The field. It was 8 out of 10 people said this wasn't a throwaway year. They expected us to be good. So,
do you think the glasses make him look smarter? Not that he looks dumb, normal, but like, do you think – that's what people say. You put on glasses, you look smarter, right?
He kind of reminds me of the, you know, like the tortoise, the cartoon where the kid, the tortoise kid puts on his glasses and he's – no, I mean, I guess maybe he looks a little bit smarter, but he – more of a beta maybe. I don't know. Makes him look like less of a football coach.
We got Barrett Salee scheduled to join us. These are the important questions we'll ask him. Do Jerem Pruitt's glasses make him look smarter? What do you think, Drew? Does he look smarter in the glasses? Have you seen him? He was wearing those black-rimmed things, too.
It just looks so strange. It just looks really bizarre, him wearing glasses. Like, it just doesn't fit his face at all, you know?
Yeah, it's odd, man.
It's very odd.
Stay with us. Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com cometh next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Berry, Trey Cruz along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined by Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Good afternoon, Barrett. How are you, sir?
Good, boys. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, man, we are doing all right. Just following this never-ending soap opera, the Big Ten. I mean, you know, we're down here in the South SEC country. We got it together. Usually we're the ones that are – people are like, what are they doing down there? You're watching that Big Ten up there. Sounds like a complete three-ring circus, Barrett.
Yeah, they have no idea how to handle themselves. I think it's really embarrassing what happened. You know, they thought that they could lead. They thought that they would set the tone. They had a complete lack of self-awareness. And after that, they have been spinning their wheels trying to figure out what they want to do next. And I think they realized how much long-term damage would occur by not playing. And they've been trying, well, certain presidents and certain schools have been trying to find ways to explain away how you can go back and have a season after basically saying that there's no chance you can operate based on the medical information that was out there. Well, the medical information hasn't really changed. I know testing has improved, but we all saw that coming anyway. So it's pretty embarrassing. It's sad. Hopefully they make the decision that they will play, and hopefully they make that today. But it's really hard to make the Pac-12 look and the Big 12 circa 2011 looked like it had its stuff together. But yet, here we are. That's what the Big Ten has done.
Yeah, I thought these were supposed to be the grown-ups in the room. Barrett, let's assume for a second that they do go ahead and get it together to play. If you're the SEC, if you're the rest of these leagues, and you've had your plan and you've stuck to it, have been, as you said, relatively stable, what do you think about the college football playoff? Do you wait for the Big Ten? Are you wanting to include them this year? How do you play that one?
Well, I think the primary reason they'd be coming back this year is to find a spot in the college football playoff. And I think the college football playoff, their schedule is basically set in stone because, you know, the semifinals being the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl this year. We've got to protect that New Year's Day parade in Pasadena. After all, that's the most important thing in the world to those people out there. So those games aren't changing. You know, they're going to be on January 1st. So having a Selection Sunday on December 19th or whenever it is, that's, you can't change that. That's where it is. So how do you operate if you're the Big Ten? Do you play 10 games? Do you play 8 games? Can you find a way to build in some safeguards to, you know, allow some reshuffling if some games get postponed or canceled or whatever? They're going to have to figure that out. The playoff folks, I think, would have to be willing to accept an eight-game schedule, knowing that the ninth would be the Big Ten championship game. And that's really not that much different than what the SEC is doing. So the primary reason they'd be doing this is to get to the college football playoff and have a chance at the national championship. And my hunch is that the playoff folks, if they come to that decision, if the Big Ten comes to that decision, the playoff folks will have no problem, including them in their decision.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, with us this afternoon. Barrett, I'd love to get your take on Tennessee, South Carolina, as we're 11 days out now. Is this a game we should expect Tennessee to win?
Yeah, I would, because I just don't know if South Carolina has the weapons, especially with some of their players opting out, especially for Trey Smith. So where are the quarterbacks going to have the weapons? You know, I think Colin Hill is actually going to win that quarterback job, but when you're a team like Tennessee and you've got so much experience coming back, that's going to work wonders this year. And I think against South Carolina, they're going to show that, especially in week one. So, I think Tennessee would win. I don't know what the line is right now, but I would imagine the public is not going to buy into the Vols all that much. But they should, because especially in a year like this, especially early, what Tennessee is going to be far more impactful this year than maybe it was in other years, when returning experience really doesn't matter all that much if you get the right work in the offseason.
And we've got this giant X factor that I don't think any of us really know what extent the impact is going to be. It's going to have an impact. Just how big is it, this contact tracing thing? And it sounds like, well, we know Tennessee has had all kinds of difficulties. Jeremy Pruitt's been very vocal about that. It sounds like South Carolina has their own issues. How should we as fans be ready to adjust our expectations really on a week-to-week basis here, Barrett, given that we might not even know who's going to line up half the time for any team?
Yeah, I think the expectation for all of us is just to enjoy it. You know, I know we do at times view football as life and death and the most important thing in the world. I just don't know how you can't approach this with the idea of, well, let's just have fun. Let the chips fall where they may. You know, if you lose a game because 20 players are out because of COVID and contact tracing, okay, you know, that's just what this year is going to be. And so I think, sure, the expectation for Tennessee fans should be, you know, win 6 or 7 games and, you know, whatever the bowl situation is after this season, whatever. But, you know, if it's not that, you don't necessarily, I mean, you get a mulligan this year. Everybody does. That's why this season doesn't impact any player eligibility, because, yeah, we're going to play a national championship and we're going to have a college football playoff, but these circumstances are so different than in other seasons where, yeah, if you win a national championship, if you win an SEC championship, those hats and those shirts won't change. But should fans commiserate in after losses? Should there be, you know, this giant expectation for anything this year? No, I just think that everything that happens has to be taken with a grain of salt, knowing that this is just an odd set of circumstances, especially considering, like you said, positive tests and COVID and contact tracing are going to change a lot. We saw Arkansas State postpone their game this week because they couldn't even field a two deep at one position group. That's just, it's, it's just how things are. And I think when you look at what some of these teams have gone through, Ed Orgeron thinks that most of his team had it. Texas Tech said 75 players since testing started have had it. You know, you're getting close to herd immunity. So maybe things will go okay, but every school is in a different situation. So just take it for what it is. Take it as college football. You want to win, but if things go south, they go south. A lot of that's going to be out of your hands.
Barrett, this is Trey, and I appreciate you joining us, buddy, today as we wait on what's going down with the Big Ten. But when we look at the SEC as a whole right now, if you had to pick two teams that were going to make a run, and I'm going to take Alabama out of this thing, are we looking at something this year where potentially it's Auburn, it's Florida that's going to beat out Georgia? And how wacky can the SEC East really get if Florida and Georgia maybe drop an early game in the first 3 weeks?
Oh, it can get super weird. There's no doubt. You know, Tennessee is what I said, I think they have more stability than maybe some other teams. I think Kentucky sort of the same thing because they're offensive line. And, you know, I think Auburn for sure in the West, if they figure out what's going on up front on both sides of the ball, I think they'll be fine. I think actually they'll be better along the offensive line than maybe they have been in years past, because I think last year you had a bunch of players playing as individuals, not as a team. But yeah, the East, if Florida or Georgia lose, then, you know, you're looking at Tennessee with a chance. You're looking at Kentucky with a chance. You know, maybe Missouri has that chance with what they have coming back defensively. So, yeah, it can get very weird. There's no doubt. And I think Tennessee and Kentucky are probably the two teams that can capitalize on that the most in the East. And I would say Auburn and A&M are probably the most in the West. Not saying that A&M is going to, you know, go off and you know, be a national championship contender or anything, but like I said, experience matters. And Kentucky, Tennessee, and Texas A&M have it, and that's going to be important.
When you look at the quarterback situation as a whole in the SEC, there's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of guys that maybe we've heard of, but maybe we haven't seen a lot. You know, everybody kind of saw Mac Jones a decent amount last year. Miles Brennan is a name that I think is at least familiar in the SEC, Kyle Trask and so on, Terry Wilson. But what do you expect out of guys that maybe didn't get a lot of pub last season or a lot of love or just didn't have a good year to be able to bounce back? Point in case, Jarek Garantano, if he can get Cade Mays waiver approved by the NCAA, you would have to think that he'd be more comfortable in that pocket as a quarterback at Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, I think Garantano, regardless, with everybody they've got coming back, not just on the offensive line, but especially at running back too, is, I think, set for a pretty solid season. Is it going to be a great season? No, but is it going to be a solid season? I think so. So I think him coming back is going to have, you know, he's going to have one of those solid seasons. Kyle Trask and Mac Jones, I think, are going to be solid too. I think DeJuan Mathis is going to win the Georgia job. And so I think when you see what he can do and how much of that offense that he gets under his belt, that maybe he can be a breakout star. I don't think he's going to be good enough to win the East, but I think DeJuan Mathis definitely has that potential from what I'm hearing at Georgia. They're really happy with the way he's played, and really he's the reason that Jamie Newman left. So I'm really excited to see what happens at Ole Miss because we all saw John Rhys Plumlee last year, ultra dynamic, and he might not even win that job because Matt Corral might win that job because he fits what Lane does more. But they're going to get John Rhys Plumlee on the field too. So it's I think either one of those guys, or perhaps even both of those guys, based on how they're used, I think will be, you know, in that mix to be, you know, budding superstars.
Wow. So maybe I just missed it because we've been so myopic about contact tracing mania here in Knoxville, but JT Daniels is about to be overtaken by another quarterback for Georgia?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the reason Jamie Newman left, and I think JT, in part because he hasn't, you know, got a clean bill of health or didn't have a clean bill of health, okay. I guess, until last week. So that's obviously problematic. But from what I've heard from folks at Georgia that have seen practice, really Juwan Mathis has had that job for 3-4 weeks now. It's not really, no matter what had happened with JT, that, you know, Juwan Mathis had pretty much already beat him out, due in part because they can't trust JT Daniels, but due in part because, you know, he's outplayed him. And that Jamie Newman had been beat out by Juwan Mathis a long time ago. So, yeah, I think he'll be the starter week one. Very interested to see what he does in week two against the Kevin Steele defense.
Very good. Barrett, always appreciate the time. At Barrett Salee, Twitter, CBSSports.com. Barrett Salee, thanks so much.
All right, guys, thanks.
I didn't know that. Did you guys know that? No. I just kind of assumed it was JT Daniels at quarterback for Georgia.
I keep reading about this freshman down there. So
we're going to go down there and play a freshman quarterback on the road in Georgia.
Yeah, we're going to win.
We're going to win.
Yeah.
You calling it?
Think of the last time Tennessee's done that?
What?
Go down there and play against a freshman quarterback? Did they play Jake Fromm that first year down there?
Was he a freshman then? He was a junior last year, right? So it would have been a freshman. Was he a freshman when they shut us out in 2017?
Yes.
I've tried to block that out.
Yes, he was, unfortunately.
Oh, God.
That was the most miserable game I've ever watched. Ugh.
I've had success with us over the years with freshman quarterbacks, I mean, that's for sure.
We've got a freshman quarterback from Georgia.
That's right.
He has fans.
Oh, yeah.
They're called the Bailey Backers.
Bailey plays that game, we win.
I haven't heard from him in a minute. That's the one positive of everybody freaking out about the COVID tracing is we haven't had to listen to Garantano bashing at all this week. At all. That might be the first time we've said the name Garantano just now.
It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. It is Tuesday. What? It feels like Wednesday. This is the Wednesday you thought Thursday was. We call it Tuesday. Welcome to The Drive, Fan Run Radio. 865-546-8200. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back with your phone calls. More Fan Run on the way.
The Drive. We know.
Folks, don't put off your dental visits in 2020. Head on over to Knoxville Smiles. Get that checkup that you've been waiting on. At Knoxville Smiles, your safety and cleanliness is their first priority. They got a brand new air scrubber in there that helps keep you safe in their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility on South Peters Road. Dr. Steve Malone, Dr. Michael Costa, getting it done. The whole crew over there at Knoxville Smiles, from routine dental cleanings, tooth wisdom tooth removal, restorative procedures, Invisalign, veneers, implants. They do it all at Knoxville Smiles. So contact them today to set up your smile consultation, 865-539-1776, or just head on over to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Russell Barrett, Trey, back with you. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. It's going pretty good. All things considered, the Titans pull it out last night. Tennessee back out on the practice field this afternoon. We got 11 days to kickoff.
Yes, sir.
You feeling good, Drew?
Oh, I'm fired up.
Bear, you feeling good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very half-hearted. No, Bear's not feeling good. He might have other things going on, okay? So we'll just assume that it doesn't have anything to do with Tennessee or the Titans or anything like that.
Bears, the Oilers suck. I don't care anything about their season. Other than to watch you guys get your hopes up again. As far as Tennessee goes, yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I'm as optimistic as you can be given the situation.
I don't know that I get my hopes up about the Titans. I mean, I don't expect to win a Super Bowl this year. I certainly didn't expect to win one. I didn't expect to be in the AFC Championship game last year. The Chiefs are the best team. If we get to the Listen, man, if we get to the championship against the Chiefs, they'll kick our teeth in again. Is that a terrible – see, Reed was ripping me today during the changeover because he says I still have a quote-unquote loser Titan fan mentality because I was ripping us – like we had a drive in the first half where it was third down and Tannehill threw in front of the sticks and then Gostkowski missed the first field goal and it was like, all right, we're back, baby. John Reed's like, you can't think like that anymore. We don't suck anymore. I can't help it, man. It's not about the Titans. It's not about the Vols. That's just my fan mentality is I always underset the expectations to prevent my own disappointment.
That's the way to do it, though.
I didn't expect
to. Of course you do. It's because you're a Tennessee fan.
I didn't expect to make the.
You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I mean, do other people feel differently? Are there people like, yeah, man, we're going to be awesome this year?
I mean, we used to feel that way.
You're a rabid Titan.
And what, three?
Yeah, Drew, do you think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, no. Like, we should win the division and make the playoffs, but we're not
going
to.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. We should win our division, make the playoffs. That's a reasonable goal.
Yeah.
And then once you make the playoffs, I mean, like we saw last year, all bets are off.
Who knows?
I don't think we were the second best team in the AFC last year probably, but we just got hot at the right time. And if that happens again this year, like, okay, that's pretty cool.
And if everybody stays healthy and defense plays good and Henry – the big thing is if Henry can stay healthy. I mean, he carried you guys last year.
Yeah. I don't feel like we should be as reliant on him this season. I mean, no – like, he carried, what, 23, 24 times yesterday. I feel like they're going to have to give him a break at some point. He's going to have a couple of games where he only carries 15 times.
Well, sure, but are you really sold on Tannehill?
Yeah, I am. I think he's really good. Like, I don't think he's Mahomes good or Lamar Jackson good, but I think he's a solid tier two quarterback. Which, I mean, how many tier one guys are there? Like two or three?
He's the best quarterback we've had easily in the last 10 years.
Yeah, since McNair.
Yeah, easily since McNair. Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Can he – I mean, he played – the thing about Tannehill is he's really smart. He's very conservative. He's not going to take unnecessary chances. And I thought he did that, like, but when it's open – those crossing routes, like, he puts it on the money, man. He zips it in there. Like, he's good. I'm as worried about him getting hurt as I am about Henry. Because the first play of the season yesterday, they do that play-action boot, the same play they ran the first play at Kansas City, where and it's always open. It always goes for 10 yards. But he slid, but he still got hit. That's if he gets hurt, that's the kind of play he's going to get hurt on. He just takes an unnecessary hit.
Yeah, get his head knocked off. So,
but yeah, I mean, I think he's good. I'll tell you who else is impressive is AJ. Alexander Johnson.
He's AJ.
I did not expect him to be this good. He was everywhere last night, man. He was. I mean, he might be on the verge of an All-Pro season, which. If you had told anybody, I think, even before all the off-the-field stuff, like he was good here when he was playing here, but I never thought – I was like, yeah, he's going to get on somewhere. He'll be like maybe a two-down linebacker, the guy you sub off in nickel on third down somewhere.
Yeah, because he was always kind of a liability in the passing and pass defense. When he was here, at least, he wasn't – I mean, that was the weakest part about his skill set. Thought was going to prevent him from being great in the NFL. I mean, he was always a great run stopper and has a high motor. But
I feel like he wreaked more havoc yesterday than any time with the Vols.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's a completely different person now because of, I think, all the off-the-field stuff. He plays with he's playing with a much more heightened sense of urgency.
Hmm.
You know, and he seems to be very appreciative of what he's got now because it was taken away from him.
But he also
– have it.
The thing about him when he was here was It's like, okay, when it's a downhill game in the box, like, yeah, he's good, man. He's going to line up, and you're not going to run over A.J. Johnson. But my question
was,
can he cover sideline to sideline? Like, can he get out in space and tackle an NFL running back? I didn't think he could do that, and he has certainly proven me wrong there.
Yeah. What was it Botch said to him? He led the SEC in tackles 8 yards down the field or something. Infamous quote.
Yeah, I don't remember. Did you see what happened with Tommy Thigpen?
No, huh?
Yeah, what was that? He said
he's deleted the tweet now. So I saw it. So Tennessee, the official Vol Football Twitter account, tweeted out like a graphic with AJ on it in his Broncos uniform. You know, just kind of like congrats, but also kind of a recruiting thing. Look, we got it. We got this dude who's balling out in the NFL. Like, just one of those things. It was like congrats to Alexander Johnson or something. It had 13 tackles or whatever he had last night. And Tommy Thigpen, our former linebackers coach, who's now at North Carolina, responded to the tweet saying, oh, now they want to claim him.
Known dullard, Tommy Thigpen. Wow. You remember he was the one who
banned out of the Mid-State.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that, but just in reference to AJ, what there was something to do with a tweet of his about AJ during the middle of all that, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
You remember that?
No.
He said something about like AJ was like a son to him. I know they're really, really close.
Yeah, and I guess that's fine, but he was acquitted in a court of law. So you do with that whatever you want to think about that. That's fine. But during that 2-year period where there's a investigation, a trial, and everything going on, regardless of if you're the University of Tennessee, you cannot publicly embrace him and be supportive of him. Doesn't mean you have to shun him, and I don't really think they did, but it's just you go quiet on it, right? There's a legal process, you let it play out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any problem. I know that was Butch Jones's program at the time, but I don't have any problem with the way UT handled his situation. He was going through a rape trial, okay? There's nothing you could do to play that well. So you know what you do? You don't play it at all.
They'd already mishandled between, you know, I think we could all agree that a code red was ordered. You know, that whole mess, all the Title IX stuff. And then at the same time, I know, you know, it's a different university, but, you know, Vanderbilt had a high-profile rape case going on where guys actually, you know, were found guilty and are going to spend the better part of the rest of their lives in prison for it. It was just, I don't know what UT should have done any differently than what they did.
Daryl Middleton has confirmed now he is not opting out this season. So that's a
good news.
Yeah, that's great news, man. That's a huge piece of the puzzle right there. With Gooden being out.
He'll be back at practice on Friday.
Are we assuming Solomon's all in?
Hopefully he's back at practice on Friday as well.
Ideally, our starting defensive line against South Carolina is Solomon and Middleton at the ends with Emerson, Garland, and/or Simmons at nose tackle. We don't really have a first-team nose tackle, do we? What did Dooley call it? The sack of potatoes? It's like you just reek in. That's what we got. We got the sack of potatoes. You just reach in, and there's one. And, like, all those guys are good. Like, I don't know if good. They're serviceable. We got a bunch of serviceable dudes there. That's why losing Gooden hurts, because he could have been like a nice player there. But we didn't have that guy last year either, and we were playing all right by the end of the season. You just got to get these guys back out of this contact tracing thing, man. I heard
my big worry is that we're there's going to be a drop off, not so much for the players, but from a coaching standpoint. As much as we used to ride Coach Rocker on his lack of recruiting ability, I mean, it's, you couldn't question his the development of the kids on at his position that he coached. So, I mean, they were probably the most improved group on the team last year.
That'd be a real shame, you know, if there was some sort of quality drop-off. Again, I've never expected Tennessee's defensive line to be dominant this season, but I was hopeful that they could be above average and that the quality we have at inside linebacker, Atoto, Banks, Crouch, and then in the secondary could mask whatever talent deficiencies we do have on the defensive line. So if
I'm expecting some of the who out of the freshmen coming in on defense, you expecting big things out of?
I mean, maybe Keyshawn Lawrence, but that I don't think, you know, you're in year three. I don't think you should be in the position where you're having to rely on freshmen. I know Clemson trotted out a couple of five-star defensive linemen. We don't have those types of recruits, but
we don't.
No. Did you see those guys they had? They had that one guy. They had like two of the top 10 players in the country, two five-stars, starting on their defensive line. I don't know it's against Wake Forest, but they just – I mean, they were ragged all those guys.
Not far off of it.
Eh.
Borderline. Yeah. He was a four-star.
Yeah.
But, I mean, borderline five-star talent, man. It wouldn't surprise me if him or I guess the other one I'm really interested to see is what kind of motor Jeremy Banks comes back with. I imagine it's going to be ferocious.
Got to get him on the field, man. He's a ball player.
Not a running back.
Well, he might have to be. If we have – we're getting Eric Gray back. Will Eric Gray play against South Carolina? I mean, he doesn't – I guess the good thing about that, Trey, is it's not like – I mean, you would like to have him having the practice. He's still a young player, but I do think he knows enough to where you can just sort of plug him in. He gets out of contact tracing late next week. You just, all right, here's the ball.
I think he's out of contact tracing this week.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think.
He knows what to do with it.
From all I understood, and this is a lot of crap, you know, to try to understand with these days they actually went in and all this type of stuff, but it sounded like to me he'll be back this week. So
do we know?
Yeah.
Do we know if they had any nice Lumberg there? But yeah. Do we have any positive tests from the Sunday test?
I was told by one person that they didn't think so. No. But unfortunately, they still had to go on what they had from Wednesday and Friday of last week.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
If they get them all out, and they're getting them all out this week, they need to lock those guys down.
Yeah. Put them in the bubble.
If they test positive Sunday or tomorrow, they are out of the well, that's obvious, but they're out of the South Carolina game.
What do you think Pruitt's reaction will be this weekend if he gets one of our local – watering hole owners, one of his network of contacts sends him a picture of any of his players in some sort of indoor nightclub type environment this weekend?
To be honest, I don't think it's Jeremy Pruitt the player would have to worry about. I think it's Trey Smith after his comments today.
Guys, we had a player decide it was a real good idea, to go out to the strip Saturday night. He went inside one of the bars. Okay. I got a picture of him. And you all know the punishment we've decided for this kind of thing is execution. All right. So Trey Smith is going to rip this dude's head off, and then we're going to go practice some goal line work. All right. Trey, you do the honors. Stay with us. The drive continues. Trey Smith just grabbing some poor walk-on by the neck, slapping him silly in front of the entire team. Oh, God. Stay tuned. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.
The Drive. Man.